Our first scripture lesson comes from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And this is describing Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to read now from the Gospel of Luke, the very familiar story of Christ's birth. It's verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel left then and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I suspect everyone here loves the Christmas story, as Jesus being born in Bethlehem in the stable. You know, we love the nativity scenes where you've got Mary and Joseph right there in that stable. You know, you got the stable over them. You got the manger between them, the straw, and the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And then we have the shepherds who come from the fields. They'd seen an angel. And the angel told them about the birth of this child. And you got to go see it. And so we have the shepherds there at the stable with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And it's a little, the timing's all off, but we love this part of our nativity scene anyway. And that's the coming of the wise men. We put the star above the stable. And we know that the wise men who travel from afar come, and they come bearing gifts that they give to the baby Jesus. And so there we have it, the manger scene, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger, the shepherds, the wise men. And it's all so wonderful and tranquil. and probably not how it happened at all. We romanticize the story, but think about it. This baby was born in a stable, born where they keep the animals, dirty, smelly animals. And you know, when these animals need to relieve themselves, they don't go wandering out into the woods somewhere. They take care of business where they are. Now, I know not a single one of you here would want your child to be born under such conditions. We like the sanitized hospital where it's safe. But there's nothing safe about this birth. And I like to call, what I want to talk about tonight is what I call the scandal of the manger. Now, there are several scandals we could be talking about. There's the scandal of Mary being pregnant before she and Joseph had wed. I mean, today's time, that may not be such a scandal, but in Jesus' time, that was a major scandal. And while we know that the Father was the Holy Spirit, try telling that to the people of Nazareth. You know, it was the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. Yeah, right, Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit. And they're winking and nodding and laughing behind his back. So there's that scandal, but that's not the one I want to talk about tonight. There's the scandal of having to go to Bethlehem. There was a census being taken by the Roman government, and you have to go back to your homeland where your ancestors are from. And Joseph was from the tribe of David, David the king. And that's, David was from Bethlehem. And so Mary and Joseph, they made about a 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And it wasn't on paved highways in a fancy car. It was rough traveling. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child and going to the hospital in Philadelphia. There was this one, going to the hospital, there was only this one street we had to get on for about two or three blocks. And it was a brick road. And so the car is, you know, going like this as we traveled down it, and my wife was not at all comfortable. It hurt. Can you imagine 90 miles of that, probably riding in a cart, being pulled by a donkey? But having to go because the Roman government said, you have to come. Because this would be giving them the information they needed for a new tax. A scandal, but not the one I want to talk about tonight. There's the scandal of the stable. They travel this far, and can you imagine? In all of Nazareth, there is nobody willing to take in this young teenage couple who's about to have a baby? No one? You can use my stable where my dirty animals are. That's a scandal, but not the one I want to talk about. There's the scandal of the shepherds. Of all the people that the angels could proclaim the king, new king has been born, it was the shepherds. They're at the bottom of the social ladder. You don't invite shepherds. You invite the ruling elders of Bethlehem, or the religious leaders in Bethlehem, or you go to Jerusalem just a few miles away and you get the religious leaders from Jerusalem and the temple. That's who should be at the stable, not shepherds. That's scandalous. Again, not the scandal I want to talk about. The scandal of the manger. It was that God, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, came down and took human form, flesh and blood, in a tiny baby. That's the real scandal. In the Gospel of John, we didn't read this, but the very beginning of the Gospel of John starts off this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a few verses down it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the scandal. God took on flesh and blood and became a little bitty baby. Helpless, innocent, totally dependent on these young teenage parents who were homeless. I remember coming home from the hospital with my firstborn. And we got home, and my wife and I would stare at that little one that we had brought into the world. And the thought was, oh my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into? This baby is totally, absolutely dependent on us. Dependent for everything. For food, for shelter, for safety, protection, for diapers, everything. And what are we going to do? And I imagine Mary and Joseph had very similar thoughts. And no pressure put on them, but remember, the baby was the Son of God. You don't want to mess that up. God becomes a human being. A baby. Helpless. Innocent. Relying solely on young teenage parents that probably had no clue as to what they were doing. I want to go back to the Colossians reading because I remember I told you that it was talking about Jesus. I know. And I want to read this because think of it in terms of the scandal. Oh, I see what you want. Here. I got you covered. There you go. What happened to that little no crying he made? Here's the Colossians reading. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. A baby, a tiny infant baby. And when the parents of Jesus would gaze upon him, they were gazing upon the face of God, the face of an infant. That God loves us. I know, I'm going to give you back right now. That's the beauty of this. I get to give back. I can't wait to become a grandparent. You did wonderful. And that's CJ, right? CJ? Tonight he's Christ Jesus. The scandal of the manger. It tells a story of God's love for us. It shows us that God does not come down in comfort and ease, born in a castle, born in royalty. But God comes into the world as a baby born to poor parents, a baby that is homeless, a baby that would soon be a political refugee in Egypt, fleeing the murderous ways of King Herod, who was threatened by this little baby. But this Jesus that comes to us in such humble forms is able to reach out to any and everyone in the world, no matter if they're first or last, rich or poor, top of the social ladder, the bottom of the social ladder. All are welcomed to Christ, and Christ welcomes us all in. Christ came that we might have a personal relationship with God. But, as you may know, we human beings, we tend to mess things up. We kind of, mess up human lives, humanity. We mess up creation. We mar it, and we just can't seem to get it right. And the reason is because we want to be in control. We want to be our own God, saying what's good for us. Don't care about anyone else, or maybe I can care about my family and friends, but it's all about me. And we push God aside. But Jesus came to break down those barriers that separate us from God. I want to kind of illustrate it. It's like a wedge has been driven in between God and ourselves. And that's our work. That's our choices that we've made. We've put that wedge in there. But Jesus has come, and through his death on the cross, a whole other scandal that we talk about near Easter, but with the cross, with the death on the cross and the resurrection, Christ has removed that wedge and made it possible for us to have a relationship with Christ. In a few minutes, we're going to come to the communion table where we remember Christ's death. We remember that this baby who came in flesh and blood, this baby's flesh is the same flesh that was broken on that cross. And we remember that the blood of Christ that ran through the veins of that little baby was spilt on that cross. All this so that we might experience the love of God and the forgiveness of God and be made right with God. And all of this is so that we might have lives that have meaning and purpose. That we might have lives that are more than just ourselves. That our lives might contribute to something that is eternal. The work that God is doing in the world throughout time. This is the scandal of the manger. God takes on flesh and blood and lives among us to show us the way to God and to provide the means that we might get there. Let's pray. On this Christmas Eve, O God, help us to remember the scandal of the manger. Remember the Christ child that was born to teenage parents. The Christ child that was born homeless and that would even become a political refugee. But this is the same Christ who came and taught us the ways of you, O God, who did miracles and healing so that we might have glimpses of what your kingdom will be like when it fully comes, O God. And then he died on a cross, shedding his blood that we might have life. But you've raised him up from the dead so that your fullness might dwell within him. We thank you for this. Let it speak to our hearts on this day. May it prepare us for tomorrow, Christmas Day. For we do pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger. Amen.